They're out to get you, better leave while you can. Don't wanna be a boy, you wanna be a man. You wanna stay alive, better do what you can. So beat it. Just beat it. Ooh! You have to show them that you're really not scared. Ooh. Okay, anyway. Hello, hi, welcome. The show's name is Politics. Although I call it Politics, and the title of this episode is Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. Although the director Adam Wingard said the X is silent. But why would you put an X in if the X is silent? I rest my case. Anyway, my name is Presh, and I know you're thinking, what? Didn't you say that the podcast was ending? Well, I cancelled the cancellation, right? It's something I enjoy doing, so I'm going to continue to do it. Also, coincidentally, this cancellation and uncancellation happened over the Easter weekend. So basically, this podcast is the Jesus of podcasts, right? Although real heads will remember that I died on mic and they did a Chappie-style thing from, you know, to put my brain into my twin brother's body. And I came back to life. So two Jesus-style events. Anyway, I have a co-host, if he wants to say anything. Introduce himself.
My name's Yisaylin.
Yisaylin.
I'm Precious Brother.
Yes. Nice to see you. Nice to have you on.
Thank you.
Do you want to say anything before we start?
Not really.
All right. In a talking medium, if you don't want to say anything, very nice.
Sorry.
All right. Some cleanup from last week. And there is none because there wasn't an episode last week. So let's move on. The news of the week. I have not been following the news this week. Except for one thing, and that is that J. Cole put out a new album. And have you heard it?
I have.
And I have not, but I'm happy to chat about it, right? The final song on his album is called Drill something, 7 minute Drill.
7 minute Drill, yeah.
And is a diss towards Kendrick, right? And on it he says that To Pimp a Butterfly put people to sleep, right? Which I've been waiting for the past 9 years now for somebody to fucking say it. And thank you, J. Cole, for fucking saying it, bro. That's a god awful album.
Some reference I'm missing.
To Pump a Butterfly.
That was Kendrick's album.
Yeah. Right. Awful album.
Oh, really?
Everyone loves it. It won the Grammy.
Oh, what?
Obama loves it. Well, you know, like Obama, okay, I don't know if you know this, but every year he was even after he was president, he puts out like a Spotify playlist of his favorite songs every year, right? And he used to do also like albums, like, oh, this is my favorite album of the year.
Wow.
And his number one album for that year was To Pimp a Butterfly.
Wow.
But that album is garbage,
yeah.
Right? I'm constantly getting into arguments with people being like, who's listening to this garbage in 2024? Nobody,
yeah.
Right? Finally, somebody said it. Somebody of consequence said it, so... You know, I'm very, very happy about it. Pretty chuffed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there was also some blatant transphobia on that song. I'm not sure if it's on the album or just that song, but he says something to the effect of, you might have transitioned, but you're still a woman, or something like that. Which, you know,
yeah.
This guy's a fucking goofy. He's a loser. But yeah, do you have any thing to report from actually listening to it?
I think it was weak.
Weak.
You know?
Mm.
I don't think Kendrick's was that deep.
Yes, either. I was going to say that, right? Because, okay, a little bit of behind the curtains. We recorded an episode, but I never put that episode out. Right. It was about Spaceman.
Oh, yeah.
Leo Spaceman.
Okay.
But anyway, on that we spoke about the initial diss,
yeah.
And I never put that out, so people don't know what I'm talking about now. But I said that initial diss kind of sucked as well.
Yeah,
it was very like tame. It was like, there's no big three, it's just big me,
yeah,
which
like,
is, it's such like a light, like,
yeah.
You know, like somebody flicks you with their finger.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
What it was like. And then this,
granted, the internet was outraged by that.
By what?
The, you know, no big three, it's just big me.
Is that it?
They were just... Everyone was so like, oh my God, it's so big, but, you know, like...
It's not a real diss, dude.
Yeah.
You know what's a diss?
That's what I'm saying.
You know the story of Eridon?
I haven't listened to it, but I've
You haven't
seen,
listened to
I've
it?
I've seen, you know, like a...
You are hiding a child. Let that boy come home.
Yeah.
Dead meat motherfucker playing Border Patrol. That's... I think about that line once every day. It's such a... It makes me laugh every time.
That's good. That's a diss.
Yes. You know? The beginning of Hit 'Em Up, Tupac says, "That's why I fucked your bitch,
you fat
motherfucker."
Yeah.
Another one, like, it has to be memorable. Otherwise, you're not going to win the diss battle.
Exactly.
I'm actually waiting for Drake to... Diss Cole.
Yes.
Drake to Kendrick. Diss Kendrick, so that we can, you know, actually get this fucking thing going.
Exactly.
It's been so lame so far.
100%.
Or maybe we need Pusha T to come back in and flame some gents, because that's somebody who knows how to diss, bro.
Yeah.
Anyway, can we get into the context of the movie?
Yep.
Because, it's a very quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Yeah, no news came across your desk this week.
Not memorable.
Liverpool draw with Man United. That happened about half an hour ago. We watched the match and then recorded. Thoughts on the match?
Neither of them, you know, deserve to win.
Yes.
So a draw is fair.
Mm.
Although, you know, I think Liverpool had better chances.
Mm.
But United should be putting the, you know, the rare chances that they did have.
They should be more clinical.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah.
I think that Salah bomb should be dropped. I'm putting it out there. Right?
You know, I captained him this week.
So did I. Because this is the thing. He's going to score a tap-in. He's going to score a penalty.
Yeah.
You can bet on that.
Yeah.
But general play is giving you nothing.
Yeah.
He's giving you a 0 out of 10.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to put that out there. He's been pissing me off the last couple of weeks, and it's dropped a stinker against Sheffield United, you know. 0 goals, 0 assists. Sheffield United, bottom of the league. We struggled against them, so I knew United. I actually predicted a 2-2 draw.
Really?
Which, yes.
Wow.
But I thought we were going to have a bozo game, which indeed we did. But it all depended on United, you know, whether they would show up or not. And they didn't. But, you know, like when you're doing a mat sum and you get all the calculations wrong, but you somehow end up with the right answer.
Yeah.
That's me. I was like, it's going to be a 2-2 draw because of this. And none of that happened. But it was a 2-2 draw. So, yeah. Mm. Anyway, context for the movie. So, the character of King Kong was created in 1933 for the movie of the same name, and is a giant ape-like monster that hails from Skull Island and has appeared in 10 movies to date. Right? Did you know this?
Not that, but I know the backstory of Kong.
All right. I mentioned his first appearance, but 9 months later in that same year, they released Son of Kong, which, you know, Kong had sex too. And 9 months later they had the Son of Kong. So, you know, hope he's using a condom. That's all I'm saying.
Real.
Right? And his third appearance was the original Godzilla vs. Kong in the 1950s. Right? As pointed out in Inglourious Basterds, Kong is a metaphor for the enslaved black people who were forced to come to America. So, are you familiar with the first King Kong movie?
Not really.
So he lives on Kong Island.
Right.
I mean, Skull Island.
Yeah.
And there's like dinosaurs and like, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of monsters that time forgot.
Yeah.
Right. So these people go on an expedition there. They capture Kong. They bring him back to New York City. And then he climbs the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
And he gets shot down by a bunch of planes. And that's how it ends. So, the metaphor is that black people were forced from their island of Africa.
Yeah.
Although it's a continent. Yeah, but, you know, to make this metaphor work,
yeah,
right? They were forced to come to America and gunned down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very good metaphor.
Yeah.
Anyway, in this continuity that we're discussing today, Kong's species comes from the Hollow Earth. And then a handful of them relocated to Skull Island about 100 years ago. And then all of them died out except for him. Did you watch the previous Kong movie?
No, I didn't. But I watched a video basically explaining his whole...
Great stuff.
...backstory.
Yes. Now, due to a rights issue, he has to be referred to as Kong, not King Kong. So,
yes, I saw that.
I'm just going to say Kong from now on, right? Then, next piece of context. Inspired by the re-release of King Kong in 1952 and the movie The Beast from 50,000 Fathoms in 1953, the character of Godzilla was created for the 1954 movie of the same name. And he has since made appearances in 38 movies to date. And he's the second Godzilla movie out this year after Godzilla Minus One. Have you seen Godzilla Minus One?
I have not.
I watched it in Vienn. Like the week after we watched Aquaman,
yeah.
I watched Godzilla vs. Kong in that same theater. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a deep meditation on World War II and, you know, the bomb and
yeah.
that kind of stuff. And then this movie is just like a fun romp. There's a Hollow Earth,
you know.
So, yes, vastly different tones. But both these characters work in both, like, tragedies and... you know, an upbeat movie like this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Godzilla is depicted as an ancient beast awakened by the atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And Godzilla often serves as a metaphor for the bomb in that he's an uncontrollable force of destruction that terrorizes Japan. In the same way the bombs terrorize Japan.
Yeah.
In this incarnation that we're talking about today, Godzilla has no backstory, but is theorized to be a mechanism that keeps the planet safe from other giant monsters. Have you seen the previous movies in this continuity?
I've seen Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Hmm. Is that it?
Yeah, but also in that video, it basically did the whole monsterverse.
Okay.
You know.
So the movie is a sequel to Godzilla 2014. Kong Skull Island in 2017, Godzilla King of the Monsters 2019, and Godzilla vs. Kong 2021. These movies form what is colloquially known as the Monsterverse. Right? Finally, the director of this movie is named Adam Wingard. I've seen three of his movies. The Guest, which is also starring Dan Stevens, who's in this movie as Trapper.
Oh,
yeah. Godzilla vs. Kong. And this movie. Those are the three that I've seen. Right. And they're all fine movies. None of them are bad. None of them are, like, you know, egregious.
Yeah.
But the movies that I haven't seen in his filmography, I've only heard bad things about. So he made the live-action Death Note and the Blair Witch reboot. Are you familiar with Death Note?
I am. But I haven't watched it.
Yeah, neither have I. That's what I'm saying. I did watch the Death Note anime.
Okay.
It's about, like...
the book.
There's this, like, Angel of Death.
Yeah.
Right? And he has a book, and this human finds that Angel of Death's book. And all he has to do is write the name of somebody in his book.
Yeah.
He can add other details, like, I want them to die at this place.
Oh,
then okay. They'll die there.
Yeah.
But anything he writes in his book happens, and that person dies.
Yeah.
And he becomes kind of like a... But he has to know your name, first of all.
Okay.
And he has to kind of, like, picture you.
Yeah.
So you can't just randomly kill somebody.
Yeah.
He has to, like, have an idea of who you are first.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it becomes, like, a detective chases him down and becomes, like, a game of cat and mouse between the detective and this guy that kills people.
Okay.
And the American... remake that they made into a movie is apparently god awful.
Oh, okay.
So that's what he made. He made the American movie.
Right.
And then the Blair Witch, are you familiar with that?
I've just seen the trailer.
So in the 90s there was a movie called The Blair Witch Project where these guys it was like a found footage movie.
Yeah.
It was that the advent of camcorders that, you know, just your ordinary person could have a camcorder.
Yeah.
And they filmed it in this found footage kind of way where they come across this entity called the Blair Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And the Blair Witch reboot is, you know, rebooting that continuity. Yeah. But again, I haven't seen it. And again, all I've heard is
bad
things.
Yeah.
Right. The last bit of context is that I went to watch this movie with you.
Yep.
Tylan, former co-host of this podcast. Dylan, former co-host of this podcast. And my friend, who does shrooms, not me. He loves a visually spectacular extravaganza. And, you know, do shrooms and watch it on, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very... I like that it's, you know, colorful, vivid.
Mm.
I know you said there's nothing special about the cinematography or whatnot. I didn't say that. Oh, what did you say?
I don't know. Okay. I haven't said anything yet. We're just still in the context.
Sorry.
I just said it was a fine movie.
Right.
I just said it wasn't bad.
Okay. But I really like the, you know, the visuals.
Yes. I will say... Where is it now? The visuals and the scale of the images, right?
Yeah.
It can be very difficult to get the scale right, you know, right?
Yeah.
That's one of my biggest things when I look at movies, is the scale.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years, we have Avatar, we have Dune,
mm-hmm.
of these, like, wild sci-fi movies that gets the scale right, where it's these large things going on, you know, like these drills that are bigger than houses.
Yeah.
And shit like that. You know. Yeah. Anyway, let me go from the start here. So the movie opens up with an exhilarating chase sequence. And I appreciate that they're showing us the scale of the Hollow Earth, right? Kong is huge to us, but he's just another regular sized thing down there. He's being chased by these wolf-like creatures that have green blood, which makes them look poisoned. It has this, like, sickly feel to them.
Yeah. I thought they were more rats.
Rats.
Yeah.
All right, whatever, but they're just these creatures.
Yeah.
Right? When we saw them in the trailer, I thought they were mini dinosaurs as a callback to the original King Kong, where he fights the dinosaur. But I prefer that they expand the world with new creatures. Not everything has to be a callback. Mm-hmm. All right? Rats, I don't even think about rats, but yes, the green blood, it just makes me think of something that's poisoned or
sickly.
Yeah. Especially when he like pulls it apart and it falls on his head,
yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, yuck. At least he has a shower.
Even afterwards, he was like, yuck.
Yes. Right. What I didn't like is the use of slow-mo. I understand that this is a visually spectacular movie and the slow-mo gives you time to fully appreciate the visuals, but I really thought they overused it in this movie. They kept doing it and just inopportune times.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The plot had a lot of confusing elements. First of all, when Kong is being chased by those wolves or rats, he kills them using a trap. But it's not clear if he made the trap or if it was just there and he made, you know, use out of it. I understand that Kong can't talk, but it would go a long way to adding characterization. You know, if he did set the trap, then we know he's cunning and led them into the trap. If he just found the trap and improvised, we can tell that he's resourceful. And, you know, a good improviser.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you familiar with... Who's that guy? Fuck. MacGyver.
Magnum P.I.
No, it's MacGyver.
MacGyver's the one I'm talking about, but I don't know why Magnum P.I. came to my head.
Because Magnum P.I. has a moustache, and I do too.
Oh.
And you...
okay.
You just saw that, and you were...
No.
You know, all right, whatever,
yeah.
Fuck you.
I agree.
MacGyver.
Yeah.
You always, well, I've never seen MacGyver, but I'm culturally aware of him.
Yeah.
He has, like, a pin or something, and he'll use that to... make a bomb somehow, right? yes. The only thing that we can say for sure about Kong is that he is lonely. And that's one of the main themes of this movie, which is finding connection. Just because he's a giant ape, that doesn't mean he should be alone. You know, listeners, before we started recording, my co-host said that he deserves to be alone because he's a giant ape. He said giant apes don't deserve connection. Yes, you.
I've never said that.
You said that before we started recording, and I was like, I have to put this into the doc just to make sure my feelings are known, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Anyway. But also, Rebecca Hall is trying to connect to her daughter. The daughter is trying to find connection with her tribe, etc. It's a big theme.
Yeah.
Well, that's... I read this thing about how to find themes in a movie,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's like... you watch a movie once, you write down every like idea being put forward, and then you watch a movie again and you try to see if there's any overlapping things.
Yeah.
So like if this idea keeps coming up and again, up and again and again,
yeah,
then it becomes a theme. But if they just have something once, then it's not a theme. It's just a thing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree that the whole movie is like, most of the characters are just trying to find a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
Like in, you know, there's like that trapper guy.
Mm.
He's
he just said that. I know how that goes. He didn't like...
Yeah.
He didn't experience it in the movie.
Yeah. True.
Mm.
But yeah, I think that's a big theme in the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
The human characters are hit or miss for me. So Rebecca Hall is like in a totally different movie to the rest of the cast. She's super self-serious and uptight. I understand that she's supposed to be the responsible one, but she can't even get one joke. Or, you know, like, just be chill, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Everything about her is so hectic.
Yeah.
Right? She was totally done dirty by the movie. Brian Tyree Henry is supposed to be the comedic relief, and I enjoyed him in parts, but I felt like he was also constantly pointing out obvious things, which became a bit irritating later on. So, like, you know when they put the metal hand on Kong?
Yeah.
And Dan Stevens is like, well, he's either going to love it or hate it.
Mm.
And then he puts on the hand and Kong, like, punches something. And Brian Tyree is like, I think he loves it.
Yeah.
Which is just like, come on now.
Yeah.
We don't need this.
I think it was just too much.
I understand to a certain extent that these are for children.
Mm.
So you need to, like, I don't know, cater to children and like, help them out if they don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
But that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's kind of out of control, bro. I thought Dan Stevens was extremely charming and affable. I really enjoyed his interactions with Brian Tyree Henry. But also, like, once in a while, he'd get irritating. Like, when he started quoting Tennyson... I was just like, I did the jack off motion at the screen because I was like, fuck out of here, man. Another place that I really had the two like big laughs I got. The first one when Kong is using Baby Kong as a weapon to beat the shit out of the other apes. he picks up Baby Kong. And by the way, I should say this now, but obviously, quite obviously, Baby Kong is a ploy to sell teddy bears and, you know, off the little Kong.
True.
Yeah, you want children to go to the movie and be like, oh, I want the teddy bear.
The Baby Kong.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I fell for it too. I desperately want a little Baby Kong teddy bear. Because, you know, that Baby Kong was so cute.
Yeah.
But honestly, seeing it fucking get thrown around was fucking hilarious, bro. Yes. That was the one very funny part. The other funny part that just took me out, I couldn't breathe, was when that guy Mikhail calls Dan Stevens Ace Ventura. Are you familiar with Ace Ventura?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But I don't even think about that. And then when he said it, every scene after that, I'm like, he looks like Ace Ventura. Fucking lost back it, bro. He looks exactly like Ace Ventura. Yeah. Right. Okay, so I watched this movie two times. The first time I watched it, I just didn't understand what the fuck was going on.
Uh-oh.
The second time I watched it, it made a little bit more sense. Because they find a place that's in Hollow Earth that's like even Hollow Earth. And I was like, what's the point of this? Why can't it just be like another area in Hollow Earth?
Mm.
But upon rewatch, I realized that even Hollow Earth place is kind of like covered with Mothra's stuff because they were hiding from Skull King.
Yeah.
So that made more sense to me.
Yeah.
But really, it's just like a cave. Yeah. It's not really like a, you know, an open area.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. I will say this, right? So Scar King, apparently he's been alive for millions of years. And he never thought to just like go out a little bit and find this you know, it's like it's unclear what his plan is at all.
Yeah.
Because it's like he has these apes mining the place, but mining for what? What do they use that for? He wants to like kind of bring a new ice age, but why? And again, I understand he can't speak, but you know, like Rebecca Hall reading those what are they called?
Glyphs.
They kind of like tell us what's going on. So I wish he had a better plan or more like
clear
or like he just seems like an idiot.
Yeah.
There's that, and
like, I get that he wanted to, you know, take over the surface world. That was his, like, he was an ambitious ape and he, you know.
Yes, but how is freezing it accomplishing that?
Yeah.
Yes. Because that's the thing. From the first battle, we see that Kong beats him up.
Yeah.
So we know he's not going to win on brute strength.
Yeah.
He's the type of guy that's like wily and uses his like intellect to win fights and to achieve his goals, but we don't really see what that is at all.
Yeah.
Right. So yes, I just found the villain to be hollow, just like the earth. But yes, I like the idea of Hollow Earth a lot.
Yeah.
It's a good antidote to flat earthers. Yeah. You know. I watched a documentary about flat earthers a while ago, and it really gives you a look inside their minds, because like the main guy who does it, he kind of found love with one of his followers.
Yeah.
Right. He used to put out like flat earth stuff, and one of his followers also loved that flat earth shit, and they got together and they like a flat earth couple now. Right. So part of it, I think, is they're just looking for connection.
Yeah.
You know, just like this movie.
Yeah.
Right? It's they're trying to find people, you know, similar ideas, etc. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the documentary, they ask a guy, hey, what is the point of this? Which is my question as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If the earth is flat, who cares? Is that going to change how you go about your day? True. Are you not going to go to school or work tomorrow, you know, like, if the earth is flat? And he was like, well, it just means that the government is lying to us. And if they're lying to us about that, what could they also be lying to us about? Probably trans people. And I was like, all right. All right. This is just transphobia.
Yeah.
All right, cool, dude. All right. Mm. But a hollow earth, that's a different story.
Yeah.
That it's like, there's a point to this.
Yeah.
There's, you know, an area underneath the earth where we could be doing activities, we could be, you know, especially if there's kaijus down there,
yeah,
and that kind of shit. A hollow earth is such a, there's so many possibilities.
Yeah.
What could happen in a hollow earth?
Exactly.
But yes, that's why I was so excited in the previous movie, Godzilla vs. Kong, when we find out about Hollow Earth, and it didn't really meet my expectations.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, we have Godzilla and Kong, a giant ape and a giant lizard.
Yeah.
What could we find in Hollow Earth? Oh, a different giant ape and giant lizard. It's, you know, again, I do like certain parts of it that it's so vast. You know, like the visuals, seeing the scale of that Hollow Earth is excellent, but I just wish more things could have been there. Right.
I wish there was more lore.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. It's they have this very specific well, what prophecy?
Yeah.
That the Scar King will be defeated by Mothra and somebody from Skull Island.
Yeah.
Which is like, that again, very bizarre.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, that's a lot to put on a kid. And I thought that from there, the actual answer would be, oh, the person from Skull Island was Kong. It wasn't this little girl. But yeah, it was that little girl. It was a lot to put on a, on somebody, right? What I didn't like as well is that these, let's call them the mini boss fights.
Yeah.
So we have Kong versus a giant fish,
mm-hmm.
which he kills and gives to Baby Kong to eat.
Well, Baby Kong led him there to die.
I don't think so.
Really?
I think.
But when he was looking, and you know, he looked like scared, and he always like he was standing closer to the edge.
Yeah, but he got in the water with him.
Yeah.
I think they just went there to get water, and then Baby Kong saw like a giant thing coming and got scared.
Oh.
And ran away.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a trap or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, Godzilla kills that fish, but we don't ever see it. We just see like a cut, and then like a giant fish portion just falls next to Baby Kong.
Yeah.
Right. Similarly, Godzilla fights somebody called Tiamat. Tiamat is the one with all the radiation that turns Godzilla pink.
Yeah.
That was, again, such a wasted plot point.
Yeah.
From the trailer, I was wondering, why did Godzilla change colors? And you'd think that Godzilla would use that in the battle. Godzilla didn't use that at all in the battle. Like, at the end of the movie, Godzilla just kind of shouts into the... I'm not shouts, like, uses its breath into the air.
Yeah.
That's it. It never ever uses all that energy that it collected.
Yeah.
Which, again, a total waste. I felt Godzilla was totally wasted in this movie because, you know, I understand, okay, we've had Godzilla, Kong Skull Island,
mm-hmm.
Godzilla King of the Monsters, Kong versus Godzilla. So Godzilla has had 3 movies and Kong has only had 1.
Yeah.
So Kong deserves a movie.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we shaft Godzilla totally. Yeah. It's like...
I have a question.
Hmm.
Since, you know, he's the alpha. No.
Who?
Godzilla.
Yes.
Why didn't he, you know, call any of the monsters to just aid them or...
He's not in charge. He just puts them in line...
Yeah, but he...
He can't reason with them.
Yeah, but he, you know, when he puts them to, like, when he in... Which one was it? One of the Godzilla movies.
The one you saw.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, in, what's it called? God of Monsters, whatever.
Yeah.
He, when he sleeps, you King see them the all... Yeah, King of Monsters. When he goes to sleep again, you see them all, like, it cuts to all of them going back into their, you know, territories and calming and going to sleep as well.
Yeah.
So he kind of called them to rest.
No, he didn't. They were, if I recall correctly, they were being upset by the presence of King Ghidorah.
Yeah.
Which is an alien.
Yeah.
Thing which is upsetting the ecosystems of the various things. That's why they were upset. Then when Godzilla dealt with Ghidorah, you know, everyone went back to how they were.
Yeah.
I don't think Godzilla has the power over those other monsters. Godzilla just keeps them in line and protects nature. Speaking of Ghidorah, there's a really funny joke where, you know, where Brian Tyree Henry, they go to recruit him and he's like, I've been fighting with this guy. His name is Ghidorah Stan 439 or something like that. It's like, I don't know I don't know what the public knows about, you know, all these monsters and like what's their names and like, why would you be a stan of Ghidorah? You're trying to destroy the Earth. Yeah. Jesus. Right. The beacon that those people have is just like a giant crystal that's red at the top, which looks like the back of the thing at the back of your throat. You know the thing that dangles there?
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. I was thinking about that throughout the, you know, every time we saw that shit.
Yeah.
Where are we now? So, the movie posits that Godzilla looks after nature while the apes look after man.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something that was like a theory, but it was confirmed.
Yeah.
In this movie. Kong's escaping from the Scar King and his minions is a good mirror to the opening sequence where he's getting traps. Away. Yes, he's using the traps.
Yeah.
But again, did he create those traps? I doubt it, because that's a new area that he just found, right? Mm-hmm.
I think he did. Because isn't the whole thing about Kong is that he's very intelligent? Like, he has...
It could, yeah. You know, I don't know if that's the whole thing about him.
Yeah, no, but it's like, it's a big point that he's smarter than a lot of the... he's more human-like than ape. Mm. Oh, well, you know what I mean?
Yes, but I wish they would have...
He was raised by the Iwi tribe, basically. Mm.
I would have wished that they showed him, like, creating the traps, yeah. Or just, like, something like
setting
that.
Setting something up, like...
Yeah, so we know that it's him, yeah. And it's not just some random thing that True. He... because even at that place where Baby Kong threw the things off the top of the thing, you know, and collapsed the thing.
Yeah.
That... Did Kong plan that? What's going on there?
Yeah.
Right? It's just a bunch of, like, incomprehensible things going mm-hmm. on all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. They just kind of, like, hit you with stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't have time to let you, like, kind of digest what just happened.
Yeah.
It just goes, like, and now we're moving here. And now we're moving here.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, right? Which is why I say that it's terribly paced.
Mm.
Right, an hour of faffing about, and then everything just happens in the second half of the movie.
Yeah,
I really noticed that on second watch, because I didn't in the first one.
Yeah,
but I just kept checking the time,
mm-hmm.
and yes, the movie's 1:45. So for the first hour, nothing.
Yeah,
and then in that last 45 minutes, they fight and. It's only like a 5 to 10 minute fight at the end.
Yeah.
It was such a kind of a waste of the time that they had.
It was. I think it was a letdown. Like, I expected a bigger fight.
Yes.
From Skull King. You 100%. Know, with the hype.
And that's what I said. You know, clearly he's not a physical match for Godzilla.
Yeah.
So he would have some other... thing that he would and not Godzilla for he's Kong. Not a match for Kong, so maybe he would like have a group of like of his friends come and attack Kong first before mm-hmm. he fights him or something like that. Also, you know what I said very early on in the movie, the opening sequence gives us the scope of the Hollow Earth.
Yeah.
Seeing Scar King on Earth in Brazil and seeing just how giant he is, that was also a good scale moment to see how you know the different things.
I wish Scar King completely beat Kong in the first when they first met.
Yes.
And he didn't have to use Shimu, he didn't have to use, you know, his tools.
Yes.
I just wish that it would have hyped the final fight up so much more. And
yes, a better movie would have Kong find Scar King.
Mm-hmm.
Scar King fucks him up.
Yeah.
We don't even know about Shimu.
Yeah.
Then when he brings Godzilla, Shimu is like his secret weapon or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes. A far better movie would have done that.
Yeah.
But yes, just the way it was paced, the way it was structured, I don't think worked at all. Yes. Speaking about Shimu, I thought Shimu was a Lady Godzilla, and I thought at the end of the movie they would, you know, get together and
make a baby Godzilla.
Yeah, have sex. Full penetration.
Okay.
I'm just saying, that's what I wanted, and I was let down.
Okay.
I was severely let down by the lack of penetration. It was just, they barely even fought as well.
Yeah, I also think Shimu was very underused.
Yes, speaking about, you know, I said Godzilla was underused.
Mm-hmm.
So then if the person you're fighting is also, you know, underused, it's like very poorly done.
Yeah.
I think. The last point I want to make is that the movie, the music in this movie is cookie cutter and obvious. For example, in the opening sequence when we're introduced to Hollow Earth, they play the song Welcome to My World.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. All, it feels like, and I've made this point a few times on this podcast, but there's a lot of movies trying to rip off the first Guardians of the Galaxy,
mm-hmm.
where, you know,
the music is...
Yes, it's like a there's not a theme song, a theme of songs from the 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
And so like Suicide Squad tried to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The third Star Trek movie tried to do it. They all want to be this like adventure in space with like a rocking soundtrack.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work. Like James Gunn kind of writes it with the song in mind.
Yeah.
Whereas these people are just like, they're just like
finding a song.
What song would fit in here? Yeah. Okay, let's just put that in. Right. Yeah. It doesn't work in the same way that the Guardians movies do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're just choosing whatever popular song there is to put in there.
Yeah.
In fact, okay, it's, I know I'm criticizing this movie, but just a small digression.
Mm-hmm.
The Suicide Squad, the 2016 one.
Yeah.
David Ayer made a movie and they released a trailer. And the trailer they asked the trailer company to make a cut of the final movie, you know, how can it, more in line with the trailer, which is something that's never ever been done before, right? Mm-hmm. Usually a director makes the movie and puts it out. But Warner Brothers asked the trailer company to make a final cut of the movie, and they released the trailer company's version of the movie instead of the director's cut.
Yeah.
So that tells you how totally fucked, you know, that production was.
Yeah.
I don't think the same thing happened here, but I got the same kind of vibes.
Yeah.
Right? All right. That's all I have to say on the movie. Do you have any other...
Yeah, I just think it was, you know, like you said, everywhere. Like, you know, there were so many plot lines...
Mm. Like, sorry, we totally forgot to mention Mothra.
Yes. To be fair, she didn't really add anything. She
added nothing.
She just protected the, you know, the people.
Mothra kind of made Godzilla team up with Kong.
Yeah.
That's about true. It. It's so...
I forgot about that part.
That's what I'm saying. It's so unmemorable, so like... Another person done dirty by this movie.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, sorry, you were saying before I interrupted you.
Yeah, no, just, I think they just could have used the characters more. You know? Like, what did, what's his name? Tyreek Henry?
Brian Tyree Henry.
Yeah, him. Like, he was the comedic relief, and he figured out the gravitational part of Hollow Earth, how they use...
He didn't figure gravity. It out. He just explained it to us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, he was the human, from the human group to know that.
Mm.
He didn't really add, you know, anything to the fight.
He added the fact that it was a... they were calling for help.
Oh, okay.
That's... But that doesn't really...
Yeah.
Mean anything. Rebecca Hall could have figured that out.
Mm.
I can't recall right now, but I think he may have been in Godzilla King of the Monsters.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Either he was in that or Kong versus...
yeah, he was there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So, what would you rate the movie?
Even though I think, you know, we criticized it a lot, I think it was still a very good... you know.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I kind of had a blast with it.
I quite enjoyed it as well.
Yes, but is it because, like I said, they just kind of overload you with stuff? They're like, hey, there's that, there's this,
true.
This. So you don't
you're
have time
stimulated.
To, yes, you don't have time to think about it.
Yeah.
Until like now, like if you're doing a podcast, you know. But if you just watch it and forgot about it, you would have like
a good
general feelings towards it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think it went a bit down, but I think an 8.
All right. Yeah. So I gave it a 7 initially, okay. But after discussing it, I'm thinking about bumping it down to a 6 because, like, yeah. When, again, like I said, when you're overstimulated, you're having such a ball.
Yeah.
So yes, I think I'm going to keep it as a 7.
Yeah. But my initial, you know, straight out the cinema, I was like 10. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just so, like, the whole movie, I'm just like, whoa, what's going to happen now? Okay, wow, you know?
Mm.
So, but, like, obviously now, it's like, okay, you know, they could have done this better. This was okay.
Mm.
Like it, yeah.
All right. So can we move on to the recommendation section?
Yeah.
So over the Easter weekend, I was house sitting for my parents, and they have something called DSTV. So for American listeners, that's the equivalent of cable TV. So at me and my house, I just stream whatever movie I feel like watching. So it's been quite a while since I could just flick around and watch whatever's on. And I watched Big Daddy. Are you familiar with that?
Nope.
The classic Sandman movie. Adam Sandler.
Okay.
All right. But upon rewatch, it's not as funny as I remember as a kid. It's... So, this guy, he's a slacker.
Mm-hmm.
And by some mix-up, he... apparently, he knocked up some lady and she died. And now he's left with a kid. And he has to raise the kid.
Yeah.
And he is totally unequipped to...
Yeah.
To raise the kid.
What's that other one with The Rock? And he's like a football player...
The Tooth Fairy.
No. He's a... It's called like a... Something game.
The Game Plan.
Mm. Yeah, that's exactly the same... story.
Yeah, but Big Dad is better than The Game Plan, definitely.
Okay.
Alright. It had quite a few laughs. And hot. So I'm going to give it a 6. But as I'm speaking about it, I'm like... It's better than The Game Plan, but yes, I'll keep it as a 6. Yes, big fan of Adam Sandler, and like I said, the listeners won't know this, but the movie that I covered that I didn't post was called Spaceman, starring Adam Sandler,
mm-hmm.
and I did a commentary for Mr. Deeds,
mm-hmm.
which. So, you know, I have Adam Sandler on the brain.
Mm.
So that's why I, you know, when I was going through, I watched it.
Yeah.
So, again, I was just flipping through the channels and I watched Wrath of the Titans, the sequel to Clash of the Titans. And it's fun. It has my guy Sam Worthington, who plays Jake in Avatar. But, unfortunately, it's a boring movie with no engaging action scenes. Right? I gave it a 5. Are you familiar with The Clash and Wrath of the Titans?
Not really, but I know, like, some, you know...
It's the, like, the Greek myths.
Yeah.
The original Clash of the Titans, mm-hmm. there's a guy, his name is Ray Harryhausen,
mm-hmm.
who makes these, like, clay... What are they called? Like, stop-motion things. So he did all the effects for the original Clash of the Titans. Now they wanted to do it with, like, you know, modern effects.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think the one from the 50s is way better than these. But anyway. Have you never seen those?
Not really, you know.
Okay. One of the things I know about it is... So after Avatar came out, there was this big thing to... make every movie 3D.
Oh, yeah.
And you can do 3D in one of two ways. Either you build it from the ground up as a 3D movie.
Yeah.
Or you make a movie and then you do a post-conversion 3D.
Yeah.
So after the fact, you add in 3D elements.
Right.
The first Clash of the Titans, or the first movie, Clash of the Titans, mm-hmm. was one of the only movies to build a 3D movie from the ground up.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I remember that one.
Okay.
Quite fondly, but the second one not as much.
Yeah.
Then I listened to a podcast called Blank Check. Have you ever heard me speak about it? Basically, they go through directors' filmographies.
Okay.
So before I started listening to that, that's what I was doing. Okay. I went through, like, the Coen brothers' filmography. I went through Alfred Hitchcock's filmography.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see I believe the director is the author of a movie.
Yeah.
So if I like a director, I'm more likely to enjoy one of their movies. So yeah. I'd prefer to go through their filmography. And then I found this podcast, so you know, it just lined up with what I was doing. I had been going through a John Carpenter binge.
Yeah.
And then I discovered their podcast was also going through John Carpenter at that point. Are you familiar with John Carpenter?
Yeah.
Who's he?
Oh, no. I just said yes, sorry.
He made Halloween.
Okay.
Classic movie about the mass murderer Michael Myers.
Yeah.
He made The Thing. Alright.
Yeah.
Well, you all know, he's very big in the horror world.
Yeah.
The thing is, I didn't know about him because I'm not a big horror fan.
Yeah.
So when I found out about him, I was like, holy shit, why didn't anyone tell me about this? Yeah. But, you know, obviously, people were talking about it, but I don't listen to horror people, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they are currently doing the movies of John McTiernan. Have you heard of that name?
No.
So he's probably most famous for making Die Hard.
Okay.
And his next movie after Die Hard was Predator.
Okay. Well,
I can't remember if it was the other way around. He made Predator first, then Die Hard. But either way, two very well-received movies.
Yeah.
And then after that, a lot of his movies go downhill.
Yeah.
Right. But he did come back to make Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which is the third Die Hard movie. So before that, beforehand, I watched the in-between movie Die Hard 2, : Die Harder. And Die Hard 2 is pretty much the same movie as the first, but without the humor that would, you know, that made it so engrossing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So I found Die Hard 2 to be kind of boring.
Yeah.
They had some good action set pieces, and but unfortunately it was extremely predictable. So I gave it a 5.
Yeah.
Then back to Die Hard with a Vengeance. It's a buddy cop team up with Samuel L. Jackson as his partner. Was just at the wrong place at the wrong time, which is the premise of the first Die Hard movie.
Okay.
That, you know,
yeah,
wrong place, wrong time, yeah, but he had to just step up.
Yeah.
Right. They both have to play a deadly game of cat and mouse with the terrorist. I don't want to spoil who the terrorist is, but he's one of your faves. Right. It's tense, yet funny and exhilarating. I gave it an 8. So, yeah. First Die Hard, I gave a 9. Second one, a 5. Third one, an 8.
Mm-hmm.
There's still 4 and 5, which I haven't seen. Actually, I'm pretty sure I watched 4 when I was a child, but I don't remember it enough that I can rate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I watched Godzilla 2014 in preparation for Godzilla X Kong. It was the only one I hadn't seen from this continuity of movies, and it's fine. There's very little Godzilla in it, and the human story isn't interesting enough to carry the movie.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston does give an excellent performance, though. Well, it's been 10 years. I think I can spoil it at this point.
Yeah.
But in the trailer, you think Bryan Cranston is going to be the main character of the movie, and he dies within like half an hour. He dies like half an hour into the movie. Yeah. And we don't even see Godzilla. I think we only see Godzilla halfway into the movie as well.
Mm.
So, yes, those were the two like gambits of that movie, and I think they both sucked. So, I gave it a 6. It's fun. There's some fun elements, but I prefer my, you know, like giant beast to be more like cartoonish and, you know, like fun. Yeah. Like the movie we spoke about today.
Yeah.
Whereas Godzilla 2014 was just like a slow burn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally, season 2 of Invincible ended this week. Invincible is so fucking dope.
Was episode 8 the end?
Yes. Did you watch it as well?
I did.
And thoughts?
I loved it. You know, and I don't know why, but it felt it feels shorter than season 1.
Because there was a mid-season break.
Yeah.
They did 1 through 4.
Yeah.
Then there was like, I think, a 2-month break, and then they did 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
So it feels like, you know, 2 short seasons instead of 1.
Yeah.
Season.
True.
And I think maybe the first season had like 10 episodes, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think so.
doesn't matter. What I did was, I've been reading the Invincible comic.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can't wait until... right, I really can't wait till the next season. I'm having such a ball with it. It's such an interesting world, and with such, like, great sci-fi concepts. And
I love strong characters.
Oh.
You know? No, like, in Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah.
How
yes, I understood what you said when you said strong. Yeah, I don't know why you were trying to clarify.
No, but I'm just saying, like, everyone just gets
stronger,
upper level, you know? Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's the same here, like, you know, Mark is just getting...
Yes. They have the similar, like, power set that, like, when they lose, they get stronger.
Yeah.
They come back stronger.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's what the Saiyans, that's what happens to the Saiyans in Dragon Ball Z. So, yes. Yeah. Do you have any recommendations that you want to talk about that you saw this week?
Not really.
You didn't watch anything this week?
Can't say I have.
All right, fair enough. Mm. So, thank you for listening. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, give a like, etc. Importantly, it needs to be a 5-star review. Please subscribe on Patreon to listen to our movie commentaries. You can find all our links at paicip.com. That's paicip.com. Please tell a friend, tell that friend to tell a friend, tell a family member. And goodbye. Do you want to say goodbye?
No.
All right. Au revoir.